सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। A wise person once said that there is a 1,000-mile distance between the head and the heart. So what do you mean 1,000 miles? Head is here and heart is here. What this wise master was saying, that the knowledge first comes in the head when we listen to the guru or when we read the Bhagavad Gita from Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda or from the acharyas or from Bhagwan himself. So getting the knowledge in the head is the first step. But then when we say heart, what it means is that I should make that knowledge my own, become one with that knowledge, abide in that knowledge. Also, it means that hearing about God is one thing, but developing love for God is the second thing. So that's why they say there is a long distance between the head and the heart. And the goal of study of this Bhagavad Gita and all other spiritual studies is to first understand this knowledge in the head, listen carefully, and then become one with that. And that can only happen when we have love for knowledge, when we have love for God, then only I will become one with this knowledge. So that is, I think, a very, very powerful statement that explains the whole path of Shravana, Manana, Nidhi, Dhyasana, listening, contemplating, and then abiding. So far in the 11th chapter, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, at Arjuna's request, has shown him the cosmic vision, the Vishwarupa, where Arjuna sees everything, not only what is happening here, but what is happening in heavens and in the hells and in all the worlds, what is happening in the past, present, and future. So Bhagavan has taken Arjuna beyond space and time. And he's also showing him death. First, it starts with wonder. Ah, this beautiful form of the Lord with all the perfumes and the garlands and the ornaments and all these beautiful forms. And then he slowly shows him the second part, which is God is not only birth and sustenance, but is also dissolution, annihilation. Whatever is created has to be destroyed. So he shows Arjuna that all these Yodhas that are standing here, the time has already come. That's why last week Pankaj covered that. Maye nihata purvameva nimit matram bhava savyasachin. They already have been killed by me. All you have to do is be an instrument. And yatha pradeeptam jwalanam patanga vishanti nashaya samriddha vega, just as moths go into the fire and how they get burned, yatha nadhi nam bahavom buvega samudram eva bhi mukhadravanti, just as rivers go into the ocean, so all these soldiers are going into this burning mouth of mine, which the Lord shows him, which is full of fire with sharp teeth. The idea being that we'll talk about today, that birth and death both are part of life and there is nothing to be afraid of. But still, death is not a pleasant thing. We have seen, you know, our own parents or grandparents, when their body is lying there, it's not pleasant, you know, it's difficult. But that is inevitable. So that's what Bhagwan tells him, that I am time, I am kalosmi, I am time, I am kala, I am death. And then he says, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin, just be my instrument. I think last week we had covered that, but this is an important topic. So I thought we'll spend a few more minutes thinking about what do we mean by being God's instrument? So our idea of instrument is like if I have a pen and I'm writing with the pen, does the pen have any choice what I'm going to write? I could be writing a spiritual diary. I could be writing business. I could, you know, I could be writing a hateful letter. Pen has no choice. Like if I'm driving a car, does the car have a choice where I go? I could go to a, you know, a temple, or I could go to, you know, some other place. The car doesn't have, and if the accident happens, the car doesn't get blamed, the driver gets blamed. So when Bhagwan says, be an instrument in my hand, does that mean that I have no free will? I have no choice. Bhagwan is doing everything, then why should I even bother? Why should I listen to the Bhagavad Gita? Why should I read the scriptures? If I am not doing anything, if I'm just a pen in his hand, then let him do everything. Then why do the scriptures say there is papa and punya, there is merit and sin, and then people get benefit for their good actions and punished for their sins? All the scriptures talk about that. There is heaven and hell. And then also in this world, if everybody is an instrument, then why are some people suffering and some are not? Some children are born with defects, you know, physical defects, psychological defects, Down syndrome. If God is doing everything, then why are some people happy and some are unhappy? Is God being partial? No. Being an instrument in God's hands does not mean that I have no free will. I have no choice. And people say, if there was really a God, there would be no suffering in this world. If there is suffering, that is proof there is no God. But that is not the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. That is not the teaching of the scriptures. We have discrimination. We have a choice what to do and what to do not to do. We have to make the right choices. See, when I work with my will, I'm working with my will, not God's will, then what do? Then I have raga, I have dvesha, I have likes and I have dislikes. So I do things which I like doing and I avoid things that I dislike. So I have the choice to, I can go towards things I like and I run away from things I dislike. So that is my will. And I like these people, I don't like these people, I like to do this, I don't like to do that. But when they say, when God says, practice my will, nimitta matram bhava, be my instrument, what Bhagwan is telling us is that combine your will with my will. What is my will and what is God's will, they should become one. They should not be two, they should become one. That my will is God's will is my will. And then we say, well, how do I know what is God's will? What does God want? So in the fourth chapter, Bhagwan says it very beautifully. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I come again and again for establishing dharma. And what is dharma? Dharma is right conduct, righteousness, right ideas. So when the wrong ideas are there, when the wrong actions are happening, Bhagwan manifests, yadahi, you know, dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So he says, I appear to re-establish dharma. So what is God's will? To do dharma. So if I want to be an instrument of the Lord, I should promote things that are righteous. Myself practice righteous conduct and bring righteous conduct in the society. That's why Gurudev gave us the motto, maximum happiness for maximum people at maximum time for maximum time. So what Swami Chinmayanandaji meant is that our job is to spread happiness, spread right conduct. So we ourselves have to develop this happiness. Happiness does not mean enjoyment of sense objects, but the spiritual happiness, once we experience, then we become source of happiness for the world. We become source of wisdom for the world. So subjugating my will to God's will is becoming one with God's will, not have two different, and whatever, and that's why they say, what should I do? What will please God? So if I do an action, is Sri Krishna going to be pleased by that? Is Jesus going to be pleased by that? Is Lord Shiva going to be pleased? So that idea is God's will. And that does not happen only by listening to one lecture on Sunday. That is good, but it has to become a lifelong pursuit that my whole life has to be geared towards this idea that God, your will, thy will be done, not mine, not mine. Jesus said that even when he was being persecuted, he said, oh Lord, thy will be done, not mine, not mine. So that is the idea of being an instrument. Instrument does not mean I'm a helpless, hopeless person, but I have a free will, and my free will is to align my will with God's will, and whatever God wants, I will do. So that is the idea of being an instrument, because people sometimes misunderstand. They say, if God is doing everything, if he knows everything, then why am I here? What is my purpose? Humans are the only beings whom God has given discrimination, has given free choice. That's why at the end we chant asato ma sat gamaya, tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. From untruth, may I go to truth. From darkness, may I go to light. And from death, may I go to immortality. So that is the idea of nimitta matram. So I thought I will just spend a little bit time, because this is an important subject that people often misunderstand. So we'll chant today verse number 35. Varsha will chant chapter 11, verse 35. Sanjaya uvacha etat shrutva vachanam keshavasya kritanjalir vepamana kiriti Namaskritva bhuya evaha Krishnam.
Namaskritva bhuya evaha Krishnam.
Sagadgatam bhita bhita pranamya.
Tagadgadam bhita bhita pranabhya pranamya.
You can mute and we'll all chant together. Sanjaya uvacha etat shrutva vachanam keshavasya kritanjalirvepamana kiriti namaskritva bhuya evaha krishnam sagadgadam bhita bhita pranamya. Sanjaya uvach. Sanjaya said. So what Ved Vyasji, the dramatist who has given us these words of the Bhagavad Gita and the entire Mahabharata, is shifting from the battlefield. Right now we are overwhelmed, you know, with all this vision of the Lord with his mouth open and fire and people going and dying. And so he wants us to give us some rest. You know, you have gone through a tough time, and so has Arjuna. So what he's doing is he's taking us to the palace of Dhritarashtra, which is very quiet. There is no conflict, and there is, you know, carpets and kaleen and, you know, sofa, and the king is sitting. And Sanjay, who is our special correspondent about this war, is talking. But Sanjay had the ability not only to see, sitting many miles away in Dhritarashtra's palace, he could see what was happening in the battlefield, kind of like television, but he had that Divya Drishti. But he also could see all the things that the Lord was showing Arjuna. Only Sanjay could see that. Sanjay and Arjuna. Nobody else in the battlefield, Bhishma, Pitama, Drona, Karna, Yudhishthira, none of them could see the Lord. Only Arjuna and Sanjay. And of course, the celestial beings, the Indra and the gods in heaven and the great rishis, they could see it. But among the humans, there was only these two people who could see. So Sanjay could see that. Not only he could see what was happening in the battlefield, he could go into the minds of the people. He could see what Arjuna is feeling. He could see what, you know, what is happening in the minds of all the beings. So that's why he speaks from that understanding, that he knows what Arjuna is feeling and what he is going through. So he says, etat shrutva. Etat means this. Shrutva means having heard this. Vachanam, these words of who? Keshavasya, of Keshava. Keshava is one of Sri Krishna's name. Means he had this curly hair. That's why he was called Keshava. He's also called Rishikesh, which we'll see in the next verse. So of this Bhagavan Sri Krishna, when Arjuna heard these words, what happened to him? Kritanjali. His hands were bowed. He just surrendered, because he saw this mighty form of the Lord. But at the same time, he was trembling in fear. Vepa mana means he was trembling. And then Sanjay calls him Kiriti. Kiriti means the crowned one. Of course, the warriors in those days used to wear crown, which was like a helmet. But also he's calling him the crowned one. What he means is that Arjuna is going to wear the crown, and your sons are not going to wear the crown. And also he had told him, you know, in the last week we covered Dronam cha Bhishmam cha Jayadratham cha, you know, all of these, Karnam tatha, all of these soldiers are going to be killed. Bhagavan had told Arjuna already. So, and Yudhyasva Jetasi Rane Sapatnan, Bhagavan had told Arjuna, you fight because you will win. So Sanjay has already told Dhritarashtra that. Why is he telling Dhritarashtra? Because according to Gurudev, Dhritarashtra was the only one who could have stopped the war. He could have said no fighting and let the Pandavas get their half, and there would have been no war. But Dhritarashtra was so blinded with his blind love for his sons that he didn't, you know, stop this. And so he allowed it to continue. So that's why he says, Arjuna was with his hands folded, Vepa Mana Kiriti, trembling, the crowned one. And again, Namaskritva, having bowed down, everybody knows Namaste means bow down, Namaskritva, having bowed down, again, Evaha, in this way, he said, Aha means Ahu spoke to Krishnam, to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And how did he talk? Sagadgadam, his throat was choked. And Shankaracharya ji says the word choking, gadgadam, happens when you have a mixture of fear and devotion, good and bad. It was not only he was afraid, but as we'll see in the next verse, he had profound devotion for this celestial cosmic form that he's seeing. So gadgadam, even though his throat was choked, bhita bhita, he was filled with fear, pranamya, and he is bowing down. So we can see both the things. He is prostrating to the Lord, his hands are folded. At the same time, he's trembling, he's afraid, he's seen death, he has this terrible form. So he doesn't know which emotion is prominent. You know, first he had wonder, then he has fear. Now he's seeing this mighty form, he has devotion. So it's left as if Arjuna is lost. He doesn't know what is happening. He doesn't know what to think. Talking about lost reminds me of a story. So this was before GPS, you know, before we had GPS, we had to remember directions, you know, how to get to my office, how to get to the mall, how to get to my friend's house, or people would be giving you directions, turn right, turn left, turn right, and all. So there was this man, and his wife had a terrible cat who was, you know, very mean. She used to scratch the furniture, scratch him. She didn't like the cat, and he didn't like the cat, and the cat didn't like him. And so they were always fighting. So he told his wife, you know, we need to get rid of this cat. It's either me or the cat. So wife said, okay, if you don't want the cat, then yeah, okay, do what you want. So the man said, I'm going to put her far away so that then hopefully she'll find some other home, somebody will adopt her. So he took her in the car and took her about 10 blocks and dropped her off and came back home. And by the time he came home, the cat was already there. He said, how did she get here? Wife said, well, she found her way home. She said, okay, next time I'm going to. Next day he took her 20 blocks, you know, double the distance, and made a right turn. And he said, from here, yahan se to nahi aayegi. Again, you know, he comes home and she's already there before him. He said, how did the cat beat me? Now he's very angry. He said, I'm going to get rid of this cat once and for all. So he gets in the car and he makes a right turn, left turn, U-turn, again U-turn, again circle round the block and go here, there, every place that he could turn. And finally, he drops the cat. And he said, definitely now the kite cat won't come back. And so 15 minutes later, he calls the home and he asks the wife, is the cat there? So she says, yeah, cat is already home. So he says, can you put the cat on the phone because I'm lost? So here, Arjuna was lost. He was completely confused. He did not know whether to have wonder, whether to have fear, or whether to have devotion. And why did he namaskritva? Why did he bow down to this cosmic form? Because he has understood that until now, I was deciding what I should do. And I was telling Bhagavan in the first chapter, you know, we should not fight because war will create problem, this, that, blah, blah. But now I have understood that death is inevitable and all these soldiers who are on the wrong side are going to perish because they have made the wrong choice. And even our soldiers will die too, but that is unfortunately what happens in war. You know, there is nothing. And what he has done is he says, I am going to combine my vision with God's vision. So slowly we see that from wonder to fear, now he's coming to devotion and ultimately to surrender, where I will now do what you say and I will align my vision with your vision. As we said, what is the real meaning of doing God's will? That your vision and my vision should be one, and that is what is happening in this particular shloka. So here we see that Arjuna is very fearful, he's trembling, tears are running down his cheeks, he has his hair is standing on end, he doesn't know what to say, what to do, but at the same time, because of this devotion, there comes a most wonderful prayer from his mouth. Beautiful. It's like, it's so not only full of devotion, but extreme knowledge of Vedanta. You can see Vedanta, so the combination of knowledge and devotion, love and surrender, everything is appearing from Arjuna's mouth. And Gurudev in his commentary says that these next 11 verses from 36 to 46, he says, nowhere in the world literature you can find such a prayer of surrender and knowledge and wisdom in such a short space, in the space of 10 verses. He says it will be hard to find anywhere in the world literature this beautiful prayer where Arjuna is surrendering to the Lord at the same time with the right understanding of what is the meaning of surrender. So we can learn a lot from these 11 verses on what should be our connection with God, how should we relate to God. So we'll do verse number 36. Arjuna uvacha. Varsha Ben can chant. Arjuna uvacha. You need to unmute. Yeah, it's good.
Arjuna uvacha.
Sthane Rishikesha tava prakirtya.
Sthane Rishikesha tava prakirtya.
Jagat prahrishyatya nurajyate cha.
Jagat prahrishyatya nurajyate cha.
Rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti.
Rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti.
Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangaha.
Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangaha.
All together. Arjuna uvacha. Sthane Rishikesha tava prakirtya. Jagat prahrishyatya nurajyate cha. Rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti. Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. So beautiful prayer by Arjuna. Arjuna uvacha. He spoke. What did he say? Sthane. Sthana means place. Sthane is the seventh case, which means in place. So whatever is happening is in place. The right thing is happening. Arjuna no longer says that a wrong thing is happening, the war is going to happen. He says, Sthane, the right thing is happening. Oh, Rishikesha, Rishikesha. So Rishikesha has two meanings. That is one of Bhagavan Sri Krishna's names. One is because he had very curly, beautiful hair. But Rishikesha, Rishik means the senses. Isha means the Lord of the senses. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the Lord of the senses. What it means is because of the God's presence within us, our senses are able to function. The eyes can see, the ears can hear, the nose can smell, and so on. So all my sense organs and my organs of action, hands, feet, speech, they are all functioning because of the Lord within us. So that's why Rishikesha is the Lord of the senses, the Lord within us, because of which we are able to talk and walk. So he says, Tava Prakirtya. Tava means yours. Prakirtya means your praise. Kirti means fame. Prakirtya means your praise. So because of this beautiful form of yours, the whole world is praising you. World means, again, whoever can see this, like the gods in heaven. When he says world, for him, he thinks that because I am overwhelmed, everybody else is. He does not realize that only he and Sanjay can see this form, but all the gods in heaven and the demons and even the rishis, they were all able to see it. So he says this whole world is jagat, is this whole world is prahrishyati. Prahrishyati means is delighted, and anurajyate, and is enjoying, it's overjoyed. So the point is that when we see this great beauty of the Lord and his manifestation, we are filled with joy and we are delighted to see. That's why this 11th chapter is very delightful and has a lot of joy in it, because you can see the cosmic form of the Lord, how the Lord is there in everything and everything is in him. So God and I are not separate. And also it teaches us that birth and death are part of life. So he says, Jagat Prihrasyati Anyurajyate Cha. But the people are happy, but there are some people who are doing the wrong things. And that is what happens. God is very kind. That's why Guruji in this Shatpadi that is going on right now on YouTube, in Chinmaya channel, he says God has two eyes. One is the moon eye, which is very cooling. So his devotee gets the moon eye, you know, which is love, which is devotion. But if somebody is doing wrong thing, then the sun, which is hot and which is burning. So his one eye is the moon, one eye is the sun. What it means is not that he is partial to his devotees. What it means is if we are good, we will get the Lord's grace. But if we are evil, if we are rakshasas, if we are dishonest, then we will suffer the consequences. So that's why they say, even Lord Shiva says, Chandrarka Vaishva Nara Lochanaya. So what it means is that that fire, the sun and the moon are his three eyes, Lord Shiva's eyes. So what it means is that one eye of God is moon and one eye is sun. So here, rakshasas are getting the sun's eye. They are getting, because who are rakshasas? Rakshasas are those who are evil, those who are mean, those who are torturing others. So for them, what happens? Rakshamsi bhitani, in fear, disho dravanti. They are running in all four directions, everywhere. Why? Because they don't know how to escape. See, our karmas, we cannot escape. You may run as much as you want, you may do whatever. But if you have done karmas, the law of karma will follow you. And so we don't have any choice. If we do good or bad karmas, we reap the consequences. And if good or bad is happening, it is not random. It is not God who is blessing or punishing us. It is our own karma. So that's why Sri Arjuna says, I can see all the rakshasas, all the evil, these demons running here and there in fear, disho dravanti. But the siddha sangha, the people who are the siddhas, the sages, the saints, sarve namasyanti cha, they are bowing down to you because they are the realized masters and they have understood that everything is happening for a reason. So let us see how this prayer we can understand. It's very beautiful. Arjuna said, sthane means everything is right. And we can see that Arjuna has understood the deeper meaning of the Upanishads in this few verses, because Arjuna had studied the Upanishad. Bhishma Pitama used to make sure that all the great Mahatmas and teachers would teach them. So when the Kauravas and the Pandavas, but the Pandavas learned the message, the Kauravas didn't, you know, they probably didn't care much. And so that's what happened. But Arjuna had heard, so he has understood the essence of these Upanishads. So when we say sthane, that everything is right, people say, I don't think everything is right. Suppose there is somebody whom we don't like, right? And something bad is happening to him and this person has done wrong. They say, dekh. That's what happens when you do wrong karmas. See, God is there, we have no problem. You know, we say, yeah, bilkul theek hai, sthane, it is right. It is right. This guy deserves it. He's getting it. But when it happens to me or to some of my near and dear ones, and they are going through hard time or they are going to death, then we say, nah, that's not right. It's not sthane. It's not right. No, something. So, for us, anything happening to somebody else is okay, but it should not happen to me or my near and dear ones or my family. And that's how we all think. You know, we all think, why am I suffering? You know, but the point is that birth, sustenance and death are there in everybody. You know, we have seen that our parents, our grandparents, they are not here with us. And sooner or later, we will join that ranks also. So it is a continuous cycle of birth and death. And as we said, it is based on karmas. And whatever is born is bound to perish. not only everything is right as far as birth is right, life is right, death is right, but even whatever is happening to my body is right. Say, for example, if I overeat or if I eat the wrong thing, or if I, you know, like in India, we go and then we eat on the roadside, you know, some pani puri and all, it tastes very good. But then that night or that next morning, you have to pay the consequences. You know, they say sthane. If you ate that, theek hai, you know, whatever your stomach happens, you know, you chose that. So it is, that is also correct. Or in the long term, say for all my 20, 30 years, I overeat, I eat the wrong kind of food, I don't exercise, then what will happen? I will get the consequences of that, heart disease, stroke. So everything that is happening is right. There is nothing that is right or it is wrong. Everything is happening based on karmas. So what this tells us is that I have to surrender and I have to understand that what is happening is right. There is nothing wrong in God's creation. Everything is perfect. I just heard a very beautiful story where this man, he was an engineer. He was a structural engineer and he was driving and he passed a garden. You know, where there were lots of fruit trees and other trees, big. And so he stopped there and he had, you know, brought his lunch. So he said, let me eat lunch and then I will. He said, I will just relax here. So as he was walking, so he saw this watermelons on the ground. You know, watermelons grow in the vines, you know, like these thin branches, which is very thin. And the watermelon was lying on the ground. And he said, look at God's creation. Huge watermelon he has put on a thin vine. You know, what is God doing? And then he looks up in the tree. There is a banyan tree, which is huge and tall and very strong. And that has very tiny fruits. So he said, God is not a good engineer. He should have asked me. If he had asked me, I would have put small fruits on the ground and watermelon on the strong tree, which can bear it. Bhagwan ko aata nahi hai. So that's what he thought. So he said, it's okay, but that's how God chose to it. Okay, so then what happens, he had eaten his lunch, which his wife had packed for him, and then he was a little tired. So under the banyan tree, he lies down to take a nap because it's hot, sunny day, you know. And so he lies down and he falls asleep. Suddenly the wind starts blowing a little, quite strongly, and one of those little fruits from the banyan tree breaks and falls on his head. And he wakes up and he says, oh, sthane, sthane, thank God there is no watermelon up there. If there was a watermelon, I would not be alive. Sthane Rishikesh, tava prakritya. Yes, Bhagwan, you are right. You know what you are doing. Who am I? I think I'm an engineer. I can do better than Bhagwan. That is foolish. And that's what we do. You know, we think that God, you don't know how to run this world. Let me tell you how my life should be. Let me tell you. You just surrender and say, Bhagwan, sthane, whatever is happening for the good. Even when there are problems, it is for my benefit, for my improvement. And so that is the idea of this word, sthane. It's a very, very powerful word, which we should imbibe in ourselves, that everything is good. Everything is in place. Nothing is wrong. Tava prakirtya jagat prahrishyati anurajyate cha rakshamsi, as we said, people who are good, they see everything good. But people who are evil and mean, for them, the world is not pleasant, because sooner or later, we get the consequences. And let us think about it, even in our life, forget about, you know, good and bad. Say if I'm driving on the freeway, right, and the speed limit is 65, and I'm driving 65 or 67, do I have to worry about CHP? No, I just keep on driving. I put it on cruise, 65, and that's it. The car keeps on moving. There is no problem. There is nothing happening. But suppose I'm speeding 75, 80, then I'm looking here and there. Where is the cop coming? Where is CHP? I have my radar and I get caught and I have to get a ticket. So when we are doing good, we don't have to worry, because then there is nothing. Like if you are paying your taxes on time, you're paying everything, whatever is due, you don't have to worry about audit. So that's what they are saying. People who do good, then for them the world is fine. But the people who are doing wrong, like Rakshasas, then they're always living in fear. I will get audited. I will get caught by the CHP. And then he says, Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangaha. These great sages, and when they came, it is said that before the Mahabharata war, all the sages came in their subtle bodies, the realized masters, even those who had passed, and they all came to watch. And they said, why are you here? There's going to be a lot of destruction. They say, we are here to see God's Leela. We are here to see God's play, that there is a drama going on in which we see everything. We see birth, we see sustenance, and we see death. So life, we see the wheel of life also in this Lion King. There is a song, you know, it talks about the wheel of life and all that, which he sings. So the point is that there is life that is going on. And Gurudev in his commentary says that in life we have a choice. If we make the right choice, then we enjoy. Then you see the world as beautiful, like the sages, Mahatmas. But if you make the wrong choice, like demons, then this world can become a problem. So that's what he says. That's the message of this particular shloka, that those who have chosen you have no fear, because they know whatever is happening, God is wish. And those who have not, for them, life becomes fearful, becomes problem. So this is verse number 36. Now we'll do verse number 37, where Arjuna says, why are these people bowing to you? Why are these sages bowing to you? Why is the whole world bowing to you? So that's verse number 37. Kasmachate nanname ran mahatman.
Kasmachate nanname ran mahatman.
Gariyase brahmanopyadikartre.
Gariyase brahmanopyadikartre.
Ananta devesha jagannivasa.
Ananta devesa jagannivasa.
Tvam aksharam sadasat tat param yat.
Tvam aksharam sadasat param yat.
Together. Kasmachate nanname ran mahatman. Gariyase brahmano pyadikartre. Ananta devesha jagannivasa. Tvam aksharam sadasat tat param yat. So kasmat, why should these people na nameran, why should they not bow down to you? O Mahatman, O great soul, O the Supreme Lord, why should they not bow down to you? The whole universe is bowing down to you. And which is true, you know, when we go to the temple or the church, we bow down, we get on our knees and we bow down to God, because God is Mahatman. He is this great soul, the Supreme, and everybody bows down to God. If you don't, and then if you have arrogance, then we suffer. So kasmat chatena nameran Mahatman, O great Lord, why should they not bow down to you? And who are you? So here, Arjuna is using beautiful adjectives which describe God. First, he says, you are the great souled one. You are the supreme Mahatman. And then we have some beautiful adjectives about Lord, the supreme. Here is not only seeing Lord Krishna, but he's seeing the cosmic vision, the entire universe in the body of the Lord. So everything, not only universe, heavens, everything. So he says, Gariyase, you are superior, you are higher than even Brahmana. Brahmana here does not mean Brahman, the total consciousness, but means Brahmaji, the creator. So you are greater than the creator. The creator actually will talk about that. So he says, you are greater than the creator, api, adi kartre, and you are the original source of this whole universe, everything. Not only the universe, but all the gods in heaven, the demons, the snakes, everything. Everything, you are the Adi Kartra, you are the original creator of everything. Even Brahmaji, the creator, was created by you. It is said it is this consciousness from whom the creator emerged. We'll talk about that. And then he uses another adjective for Bhagwan. He says Ananta, endless. Even though he's seeing Lord Shri Krishna standing in front of him, but when he sees this cosmic form which extends forever and ever beyond all the stars, beyond all the planets, and beyond heaven and hell, he says, you are Ananta. I don't see any end. I don't see the beginning. I don't see the end. Ananta, Deva Isha, Devesha, Deva Isha, you are the God of gods, which means even the gods in heaven, Indra and all of them, were created by you, God of wind, God of fire. And Jagan Nivas is a sandhi. It is Jagat Nivas. The Jagat means the world, Nivasa means the abode. You know, like in India, we have homes named like Shanti Nivas, or, you know what, or Sunita Nivas, like they name after their daughter, or name after, you know, Shanti Nivas. So Nivas means abode. So here, Jagat Nivas means the whole world resides in you. All this whole universe resides in you. And then another example, adjective he uses, Tvam Aksharam. You are Aksharam. Aksharam. Shara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. And then the last one is a very Vedantic description. He says, Sat Asat Tat Param Yat. Sat means manifest, asat means unmanifest, and tat param, and you are beyond manifest and unmanifest. So that which is manifest and that which is unmanifest, you are beyond both. So this is a very Vedantic verse, and so is the next one. I don't think we'll have time to do the next one today. We'll do it next week. But it is a very Vedantic, where we see the essence of Vedanta. First of all, he is telling that you are the essence of this universe. Even the creator came out of you. So what do we mean by essence? Essence, Gurudev in his commentary says, just as mud is the essence of all parts, gold is the essence of all jewelry, so you are the essence. You are that which is Aksharam, we had already talked about, and that which is immutable, unchangeable, but on you, this whole universe has emerged from you, out of you. If there was no God, there would be no universe. Like if there is no gold, there cannot be ornaments. From ornaments, you remove gold, nothing is left. From pot, you remove mud, nothing is left. So from this world, you cannot remove God, because you are the essence of this universe. You are the Supreme Lord. It is you who is controlling it. But why does he say you are superior to Brahmaji, superior to creator? Because we think creator is supreme, one who made the world. But there are different levels of hierarchy. First of all is the formless Brahman, the consciousness. You know, formless, which is all pervading, which is everywhere. Then that Brahman, to create the world, actually, we'll talk about that next week, that actually there is no creation. But for our understanding, we see there is creation. So how do you say there is no? We'll talk about that next week. I'll try to prove that actually there is no world. But I don't know, you know, if I can convince people or not. But anyway, so for creation, what did Bhagwan do? So he says the Brahman, the consciousness, had this power called Maya, which is the creative power, the Maya Shakti, which is the creative power, which also deludes us, where we cannot see, even though God is everywhere, We are not able to see God because of this delusory power of Maya. So then God takes on the role of Ishvara. Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, destroyer, what we call as Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Lord Brahmaji, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. So there are three aspects of Ishvara or the God. So Brahman, the consciousness functioning through Maya, becomes the total, what they call as the causal body, which is the cause of this universe called Ishvara. So Ishvara, as we know, Ishvara, Bhagwan. So when we say Ishvara, that means that God that we can contemplate. We can think of Brahmaji, we can think of Lord Vishnu on the Sheshnag, we can think of Lord Shiva in meditation. So this unmanifest consciousness called Brahman, which is beyond thought, beyond words, beyond description, now becomes, appears as Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. So becomes the total causal body, what we call as the cause of this universe. That's why they say God is the cause and the world is the effect. So Brahman is beyond cause and effect. But in this world, when we see this world, then we say there is a cause. And what is that cause? That is Ishvara, that is God. Now, Brahmaji, it is said in our Puranas that Lord Vishnu is lying on the Sheshnag, and from his belly button comes this rose, this lotus, and on the lotus is Brahmaji, the creator. And then Brahmaji, the creator, is given job of creating this universe, and then he assigns the job to Prajapati, who then is given power, and then Prajapati is the one that created the Garden of Eden and created Adam and Eve, or created this whole world and Manu and Shatrupa and all that. So this creation is a stepwise, where Lord Vishnu has the power, it's transferred to Brahmaji, then Brahmaji creates Prajapati, and then Prajapati then creates the world. So this power is transferred. It is like the president, and then there is a secretary of state, and then there is a vice, you know, assistant secretary of state who is responsible for Africa, one is responsible for Asia, one is. So the power of the president himself cannot do everything. So he has different secretaries. So that is how this power is transferred. So that's why they say Brahmaji even was a creation of this consciousness. And Brahmaji is also described as Hiranyagarbha, which is the cosmic womb, the golden womb from which it is like the womb where the whole universe was created. So Hiranyagarbha is the total subtle body. Ishvara is the causal body, which is the vasanas, and the subtle body is the mind and intellect. All the total mind and intellect of all of us, animals, plants, fish, is all together called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, in another interpretation or in another text, is described as this golden egg which is floating, and then suddenly the egg breaks and half of it becomes the universe and half of that becomes the heavens. So the point is that this, you are the beyond even the creator. But he says Brahmano api adhikartri, you are the creator of Brahmaji and this whole universe, but you are ananta, endless. I cannot see where you begin and where you end. And that is true, because how big is the universe? We know it is trillions and trillions of miles, so many galaxies and so many stars. They say there's more stars than there's grains of sand on the beaches. And they will keep finding newer and newer stars and our satellites. And it goes on and on. And how far is space? We don't know. How far is the furthest star? We don't have enough telescopes to see that. And God is even beyond that. Even this whole space is in God. So how vast must be this being that we call Brahman? And at the same time, it is realizable within us as I. That's what the Upanishad says, Tattvamasi, that consciousness you are. Not this body, mind, and intellect is limited, but in us, that same consciousness resides, which is running the whole universe. That is me, and that I can understand. That's what the scriptures are telling us, that you are not far from God. God is within you as life itself. And then he says, you are the Deva Isha, you are the God of all the gods. You know, we worship the different gods, Indra or God of wind or God of sun. You know, we do the Gayatri mantra. That is good. You worship the sun, but then you understand that there is a consciousness which is illumining the sun, which is giving power to all the gods. And Jagat Nivas. And Jagat, we have talked before, is not only the physical world that I can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, but all the emotions of all the beings, all the thoughts of all the beings. Because you and I think only humans have intellect. No, even animals have. A dog also, if you approach him with a stick, he will run away. But if you approach him with food, he will come to you. He also knows that what is the difference between stick and a piece of bread. Or even a plant, it knows that I have to grow towards light so that my growth may be better. So all the intellects, all the ideas of all beings is called Jagat. But the Jagat resides in you. So Arjuna says, you are the sustenance of everything. You are the support of everything. And then he says, you are imperishable. We talked about that. And he said, Sad Asat Tat Param. Sat means manifest, asat means unmanifest. So manifest is this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And what is unmanifest is the vasanas. It is because of these vasanas that I am doing what I am doing. Because if I have good vasanas, I will do good. If I have bad vasanas, I will do bad. Like in Yoga Vasishtha, the teacher tells Sri Ramchandra ji is the student, and the teacher says there is a Shubha Vasana and an Ashubha Vasana. There are good and bad Vasanas, and what we have to do is Vasana Tanayam. We have to thin out our Vasanas, remove our evil Vasanas, develop good Vasanas, ultimately go beyond. So he says, you are beyond good and bad. You are what is manifest, that world I can see. What is unmanifest, the world I cannot see, you are those and Tat Param Yat. And you are beyond the manifest and the unmanifest. What I can see and what I cannot see, both are in you, but you are beyond it. So in the Gurudev, in his commentary, says that like the light, you know, which is described in Panchadashi by Vidyaranya Swami, like in the theater, there is a light and which is lighting the stage, which is the floodlight on the stage. If you go to see a theater, and on the, now, of course, with COVID, nobody has gone to theater for over a year. No movies, no theater. But in the good old days when they used to have theater, so in the theater, you see a play and there is a comedy, and then next day they may be playing a tragedy. There may be an actor which is happy, then there is a villain. But the light was there before the play happened. And then the play ends and the actors leave and the audience leaves. But the light is still illumining. Light is still there. Light was there before the drama, during the drama, and even after the drama, the light is there. Of course, in the case of light, it gets switched off. But the point is that the light of consciousness, which illumines my life, was there before I came, is here now and will be there after I am gone. And that light of consciousness you are. Before this world came into being, and this is not the first time the creation has happened. Creation is said to be anadi, beginningless. So before this creation came, God was there as light of consciousness. Now the world is there. The light of consciousness is illumining all of us, making us aware. And when this world ends, when all the stars become dark and all the universe becomes nothing, then still God or consciousness will be there. So that's why it's a very beautiful Vedantic prayer, which tells, Arjuna is telling that you are the manifest, you are the unmanifest, and you are beyond both. And it is in you that the world emerges. It is sustained by you and merges back into you. That is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, the creator, sustainer and the annihilator. So that is the beautiful prayer. We only did three verses because there was a lot of material. So we'll continue next week further Arjuna's beautiful prayer, where he'll talk more about this world and what is creation, and if there is even really is a creation or not. So we'll talk about that next week. I'll try to convince you that there is no world, that you and I don't exist. I may not succeed, but I'll try. So that is what we can look forward to next week. We have a lot of time today. Anybody has any questions, any comments?
I had a question on the word Kala. I think it was in 30 and 31, or 31 and 32 used.
Yes.
Is it referring to time and death? Is it equivalent? Can both. You clarify that, please?
Yes. Kala means time, but Kala also means death. Like in Hindi, they say, na, uska kal aa gaya. Kal aa gaya means his time has come. So Kala means time. Kala also means death. Yes. And it means also, Kala also is destiny. You know, Kal ka aaj, what is, you know, aajkal Kal theek nahi hai, time is not good. And Kala also means destiny. So yeah, it has many meaning based Sanskrit on the context. I'm sorry?
Sanskrit has one
word. Sanskrit, one word can have different meanings based on the context. Yeah. So Kala means time, Kala means death, Kala also means destiny. Also means what is inevitable, like Kal ki shakti, you know, koi nahi tal sakta. Remember there are phrases in Hindi that who can overcome time? So that means destiny. So many meanings. Thank you.
Anilji, I like this one in 36, when Gurudev is giving beautiful example about the mirror. If you're seeing the mirror, but if you're just seeing the reflection,
yeah,
and you're not seeing the mirror surface, you're right. Just more focused on the reflection. That's what we do on name and forms. So that's why we cannot see the substratum. But if we can just focus on the substratum, then we can see that infinite God. Otherwise, we'll be just between the forms, just seeing the universal things. I like that a lot. Makes a lot of impression on me.
Right. Very good. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense, that our attention is on name and form, and we forget what is the support of this whole universe. Same way in me, I think myself to be this body, mind, intellect. Forget that my true nature is that consciousness. Yes, thank you. That's a good point.
Om natatra suryo bhati na chandra taratam nema vidyuto bhanti kutto yagni tameva bhanta madu bhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvanidam vibhati. Om Arati Sri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki Divya Rupa Murati Karuna Ki Arati Sadguru Ki Charno Me Unke Shanti Samaye Saragat Ki Bhranti Mitaye पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया शुद्ध नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्ध बाड़ी की तपोभूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद स्तोत्र की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरति सद्गुरु की आरति सद्गुरु की बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय। ओम श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियेण बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेष्वभावा करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि। ओम सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। ओम अस्तो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्युर्मामृतं गमय। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम पूर्णमद पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पुण्यमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।